Okay, fuck it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
Sappening!
You're listening to episode 97 of Sappening Podcast with the absolutely sensational Sean Smith and the medium to mediocre Morgan Richards, aka Mo Dick.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards. I'm not a size medium. I prefer a large, extra large in some clothing. But this week, we have the energy of a thousand hearts with sexy woodwind sounds and experiences.
Is it woodwind?
Is saxophone woodwind? Is a woodwind instrument. If that is incorrect, blame Google, because I had a quick look before we started to get it right.
What? It's
and
not
that's
brass.
What the giant G says.
It's not brass.
Apparently, it's woodwind. We can have this argument again, Sean, but according to the Google,
it is woodwind. See, what I'm thinking is, no, this works better for me. Because I have literally online before said brass has no place in music. So if the saxophone is woodwind, that is fine by me. And the fact of the matter is, this week's guest plays a sax so good that it's changed my mind a bit on the old sax in songs. So this week's guest is multi-instrumentalist, musician, producer, session musician, and all-round happy soul.
Mm.
Saxel Rose.
Yes, literally rocks saxophone collaboration wizard and one talented son of a gun. If you're a fan of the alternative pop punk and even rap scene, you definitely would have seen him jump up with features, performances, all covers with some of your favorite musical acts.
Yes, those bands are including The Paramore. Very, very good. Miss May I, very good. Wiz Khalifa, unbelievable. Stay Champs, unbelievable. Neck Deep, incroyable. Friends of the podcast, and yeah, many more. So yeah, thanks again to the amazing Saxel Rose. I have to say to you, that's not his real name. But we are keeping kayfabe because we love wrestling.
Don't break kayfabe, bro.
Yeah, I wouldn't call the Undertaker Mark, so I'm not calling Saxel... whatever his real name is. But yeah, thanks so much for the chat. He was absolutely amazing. I was having a bit of a lull in my day until we started speaking to Saxel, mainly because I'd been speaking to you for half hour prior to it. But then as soon as he came, his enthusiasm was so contagious and his love for music. And I think this is a really, really good episode because people are going to see... or get to hear what it's like from kind of a fan's perspective.
Mm.
What I got with Saxel is, not only is he a super cool dude who can do everything, the talented prick, right? But also, he's literally such a fan that when we were recording this, you can hear in his voice like how happy he is and how much he's living the dream. He's got to play some ridiculous things. Like, you got to play Wembley Arena with Neck Deep.
Twice.
That's nuts.
Twice.
Yeah, that's like, how many British bands never get to play Wembley Arena? Most of them. Got to be 90%, surely. Got to be 90%. So this week's guest is the fantastic Saxel Rose. He's an absolute superstar, and I like him very much.
Yeah, he's mega talented. We've had a few conversations with him online in the past and stuff, but I'm so excited for everyone to get to hear his story about all the mad experiences he's had. He's definitely a unique individual. And just to say again, this man has popped up on stage with the likes of Chris Brown, The Used, Beer Tuff, Stand Atlantic, Paramore, and featured on tracks with State Champs and Neck Deep. So in this conversation, we actually get to find out how he was part of Neck Deep's touring band for over a year, his friendship online with Hayley Williams. They're like best buds. It's incredible.
And wait. Saxel, if you're listening right now, give Hayley a... Tap Hayley up there for me and explain to her that she started following me on Twitter, at Sean Smith Sax, and I accidentally blocked her when I went to message her. Cheers, Saxel. Sorry, Mo, carry on.
How everything started, what his job title really is, and just amazing laughs and good times in between. It's going to be a fantastic one. It's in your ears. Embrace it.
Yes, and also he tells us a fantastic story about having a row for talking to Little Wayne.
Oh,
Little Wayne.
Excellent.
I said little automatically, not as a joke. Little Wayne. So, yeah, thanks again to Saxel. You're a top, top chap, and we absolutely loved this conversation.
Yes, but speaking of people blocking you on social media, Sean, that's something we'd never want to happen. So why don't they instead follow you, and us together at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram to keep updated with everything going on in the world of this podcast?
Morgan, that it was the worst segue to ever have happened since the creator of the segue fell off a cliff and died. That was dreadful. How did you manage to turn... Like, that was awful. Awful. Oh, don't block us. Follow us, you fucking... you're like a cheesy children's presenter sometimes. He is right, though. At Sapling Pod, at S-A-P-P-E-N-I... Oh, fuff. He is right, though. Starting again. I've had a monster and a burp. At SAPPENINPOD. That's at SAPPENINPOD. Get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts on the episode, any of the past episodes, future episodes that you're looking forward to, that you've guessed that are happening. Tag us with people that you'd like to come on as guests, especially at Fred Durst. Thanks for checking us out.
And just send us messages of the most ironic things you've ever heard of, including the creator of a Segway apparently falling off a cliff. Is that true, Sean, or did you make that up?
I promise you, he fell off a cliff on a Segway. But on the off chance that something there isn't right, I'm going to have to say, allegedly.
Nice, we're covered. But yes, please follow us at Sapling Pod. Subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapning, if you enjoy our constant nonsense, cheesy segues, extraordinary Welsh accents, and everything else you could possibly imagine, including meeting a host of your new bestest friends.
Yes, please think about getting involved. If you've listened to 15 plus episodes of Sapling Podcast, you have to now join the Patreon. Even if it's the lowest tier, it could be a tier you make up yourself, it could be nothing, but you owe us for at least 15 episodes, and I'm finally standing up for myself. I've given you 15 hours. Chuck me a Morgan, 50p. Anything. Absolutely anything. Thank you very much to everybody who's already a member of the Patreon. You are massively appreciated. You should have got voice messages and video messages this week off me and Morgan. Everything I said in my video message was absolutely true, and there's absolutely no way Morgan can deny it because he doesn't know what I said. So enjoy those people.
That's got me very worried now. But just to let everyone know as well, if you're good at the mathematics, our 100th episode is fast approaching. We're going to be doing loads of separate celebrations on our Patreon page with the community, with the family, with the cult, whatever you want to call it. I know we mention it all the time, but this is definitely a period where you want to join our Patreon page if you like our nonsense. There's going to be plenty of it, plenty of celebrations, plenty of good times. So that's patreon.com /sapnin. But speaking of celebrations and good times, come on, Sean. Lately, we've given everyone an update what's going on. With your band Raiders, you've had new singles out, you've had video out, you've been announced for a festival, you've done a cover. But this week, you have released another track. Tell us all about it.
Yes, 9 a.m. UK time, October the 2nd, we are releasing a song called I Still Function. If you go to raidersbanduk.bandcamp.com, it is there. It is available there for the day, and I believe it goes live everywhere else on the Saturday. Yeah, so check it out. I Still Function. Yeah, I like it. I think it's a bit of a ripper. So
which one,
yeah.
Which one's that for people who have seen you live in the flesh before?
It was the opening I said. It goes fucking da na 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 fucking da na 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 fucking da na 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 na. Yeah, that's it. Sadly, it doesn't say fucking da na. Yeah, it doesn't start with a fucking da na. I wish I'd done it. I was listening back to it earlier, and I was like, oh, I should have kind of done that a day to remember. You know that da 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 da. That's brilliant. That's genius. But if I could have gone fucking da na 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 na. So I Still Function should be available from our Bandcamp, raidersbanduk.bandcamp. Please think about getting it there. Thank you very much. Well remembered, Morgan. I owe you £2.
Oh, well, I'll probably pay more than that on Bandcamp Friday to pay for the track anyway. Because
well,
just so everyone knows, I paid £5 for the Structobot on Bandcamp. Just so that all the boys could have a pound each and change over for a little bit of pick and mix in the shop afterwards. Because we all know that in music, all the money goes straight to the bands and they're all fucking rich megastars with Bentleys, Lamborghinis and champagne, right? Am I right in that?
Yeah. You make out like you're the Jesus of music, yeah. With your bloody, oh, I'm helping the boys. Oh, thanks. Do you know what? It's cost me more in petrol driving you about.
That's true, actually.
Have our one, you shithead. Yeah. So, I Still Function, I want 77 quid off you. Right?
Fucking hell.
I know, it's steep, innit? But yeah, please check it out. raidersbanduk.bigbandcamp.com.
Enough about us. Why don't we have the wonderful conversation with Saxo Rose to inform everyone just how good he is on that instrument and others. I've ran out of things to say. He's awesome. Check this out. Loads of your favourite bands that he's been involved with. Some amazing stories. I'm going to shut up. Sapnin!
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Sapnin! Yes! Our guest this week is musician, multi-instrumentalist, session musician, producer, and all-round badass, Saxl Rose.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm great. That was a great intro. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I've been, been practicing all day, actually. I woke up at 7 a.m. It's 3 p.m. now, and I've been practicing that. No. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming on. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm tired. I was up pretty late last night doing nothing important, just scrolling through YouTube until like 2 a.m. So yeah, I'm a little tired, but I'm good, man. I'm great. Okay. Everything's great.
Well, we've got to ask, what were you scrolling? Alien videos, conspiracy theories, cats? What was going on?
So this is gonna sound super weird, but I don't know how. Like, I was on one of those random YouTube, just going down the rabbit hole, and somehow ended up on a like worst circus moments. Like, I know that's crazy, but like, bears just losing their minds and saying like, fuck these guys, and like biting them, lions going crazy, people falling from like the trapeze, like just crazy shit. And I was like, how did I end up here?
Yeah, when the circus goes wrong, like, oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, nuts.
That's such a... I think after this now, I'm going to go down that very same rabbit hole.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'd recommend it. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. Seen a lot of people getting attacked by lions. Yeah, no, I might be all right for that, actually. Cool. Well, yeah, how have you been? How have you been keeping over the crazy pandemic?
Oh, man, it's weird because, like, I feel like, especially if you're a musician, it could go, like... It could almost go either way. Personally, for me and what I do, I don't want to say it's almost been the best thing, but it's almost been the best thing.
Like, okay.
And I know that sounds weird, but like, I know like a lot of my friends who are in bands and who are touring like full time to support themselves and like crew, like this sucks for them. And like, I feel terrible. But for me, whereas like I just started to get my foot in the door, and I've only been on like one official tour and just kind of popping up the ones. But a lot of what I do starts online. And this time for me, like as far as connecting with other artists, with everyone being on their phones and everyone just trying to find the next thing to keep their attention, like I think for me, it's just been great. I've been able to connect with artists and bands that I don't think I would have connected with as fast if it wasn't for this. And nice. It's led to like a bunch of other opportunities for me. I've been recording a lot, doing a lot of features. So I don't know. For me, it's been great. I know that kind of sounds weird, but yeah.
Nice. So yeah. So if we now looking at it, thinking about my YouTube conspiracy mind that I fucking love, it's looking a bit like you might have caused this now.
Oh, wow. So,
oh, man, come on, man.
You know, I'm not putting the blame on anyone, but it was definitely you. So,
don't do that, bro.
No. It's very, very good to hear that somebody's doing well through this, because yeah, we spoke to loads of bands who have kind of been like up and down with creativity and stuff, and right. You know, we're all kind of lost when is stuff going to come back. And yes, it's a kind of scary time, but it's been, I'm glad, I'm very, very, very happy for you. That it's been good for you.
Yeah, I mean, it still sucked as far as I can't play shows. I mean, that, don't get me wrong, like, I don't want to say it's all great. Like, I want to be able to get out there. I want to, like, I had a single that I was going to release, and I was going to, like, I had a bunch of shows lined up to push that, and I was going to pop up with a bunch of bands, a bunch of crazy artists. Like, I had a tour I was supposed to do I was playing with this R&B artist, Bobby V, and I did two shows with him, and then they were gonna have me just finish that run with him, and it was going to like Chicago and I think Nashville and like a bunch of other places that I was just gonna just finish out the rest of that tour with them. But that, like, the last show we played was like when everything was like, okay, tomorrow this is going on lockdown. Like, it was like days beforehand. Like, it was crazy. So yeah, I mean, that sucks. I want to be able to get out and see people, but all things considered, I feel like I've been relatively fortunate.
Yeah, well, as you said, it's great to see that you've been busy in this mad period. But I mean, to start, you've featured, collaborated, toured with so many different bands in the world of rock, R&B, rap. There's so much we want to get into. But to start, can you really explain and tell us about your journey? I mean, how would you really describe your work? Do you feel like you're more of a session musician? I mean, talk us through it.
Right. I mean, it's hard because sometimes I like even have trouble figuring out what the hell I would like label myself as. But I think that's the thing about it is that it's hard to, I kind of like that, that I don't want to just be like, I don't even want to just be like the saxophone guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's why you see me do videos where like I'm playing guitar, I'm rapping, I'm singing, I'm playing keys, like I'm playing rock shit. Like, I don't really want to be, I want people to have a hard time to be like, yo, this guy pops up fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What, like, what is he like? What is he called? What is he doing? Like, I want to have that problem. So I don't know. Like, I've been around music my whole life. Like, my family is super musical. My dad plays, like, still to this day. He's actually got a gig tomorrow that I'm playing with him on. And a lot of people in my family play. So I feel like just growing up around music and a lot of different kinds of music kind of just set the stage early for me of being like just super diverse. So I don't know. Like, I don't even know what I would label myself as. I just want to be like a jack of all trades when it comes down to it. I want, you know, Pharrell. I'm sure you've heard the name Pharrell before.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've always kind of kept that mindset as far as like, Pharrell can do so many things and he's great at all of them. So if you were to call Pharrell for whatever reason, if you have Pharrell's number and you were working on a right. Yeah,
no,
me too.
No. No, I do. I genuinely do.
Okay, we'll talk about this in a second.
No, I do. Yeah, carry on.
No. But yeah, like if you were working on a project, whatever it was, I'm saying like movie soundtrack, music, a beat, anything, like I feel if you called Pharrell, you don't exactly know what he would bring to the table, but you know he would bring something to the table that would be really dope because he's just a dope guy. You know what I mean? He just does everything he touches is dope. So I've always wanted to kind of be that guy where it's like, yo, I don't know what he's going to do next, but like him being in this room is going to add something that wouldn't have been there if he wouldn't have been in this room. So I kind of always wanted to be that dude. Like just put me in the room, bro. I'll make it happen.
Nice. What was the first instrument you picked up? Was it sax?
Yeah, it was saxophone. My dad was on the road for a while with his own band. Like before I was born, he was doing like the casino and like huge hotel and like that kind of circuit on like the East Coast, even down south a little bit, where like him and his band would just do residencies and they would just hit these huge casinos and play. So like me growing up, I was in these clubs like 2-3 years old, like me and my brother just watching my dad play, and it was nuts.
I bet.
But yeah, he like before the show he'd be like, you know, warming up because he plays sax, keys, he sings, so he would just kind of like let me hold the sax and kind of teach me how to like, you know, blow a couple notes. So by like maybe 5, I had already kind of started playing a little bit. So by the time I got into school, when like you have to start learning an instrument, I had already been playing sax. So I wanted to learn trombone when I started in school, because in my mind I figured, well, I already play sax, so if I learn trombone in school, that'll be 2 instruments and I can start focusing on something else. But my arms weren't long enough to hit the notes
on the way.
So my teacher was like, just play sax. You already know how to do that. I was like, all right, cool. And I'm glad because Trombone Rose sounds terrible. So
like, yeah. It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it? No.
Not at all.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of famous rock stars now with boning in him. Or
I mean, Trombone Shorty is one. I don't know if you ever heard of him, but super dope.
You could be Trombone Morello. That's awful. It's awful. I'm sorry about that.
It's cool.
Yeah, but like, as you said, I think a lot of people have just noticed you as this guy who's popped up wherever, if it's random bands tour dates, featuring on a mad list of collaborations, features and all that, but especially in the rock alternative kind of punk scene, whatever you want to call it, I think a lot of people I've known you really since the time you were part of Neck Deep's touring band for, I think it was like over a year. How did all that start?
So like, it's kind of weird because it all ties into like my first couple videos. I covered Ain't It Fun by Paramore. Hmm. And she saw it like almost right away as soon as I posted it, Haley did, and she shared it on Twitter and was just like, yo, like this is super sick. And it did like 200,000 views in like a day. It just went crazy. And I was like, oh shit, like that's cool. And I saw like in the likes on Twitter, like a bunch of different bands and people had also liked it. And I had bought tickets to see Neck Deep play in Baltimore like a week before I did that video. So when I was scrolling through the likes, I saw that Danny, the drummer, had liked it. And I messaged him on Instagram and I was like, yo, bro, like, I appreciate you liking my video. Like, for real, it means a lot. Like, I'm coming to see you guys in a week. And like, I'm fucking stoked because like, I love you guys. And he messaged me back and was just like, yo, that was sick. You should do that to In Bloom, like, to our song, and like send it to me. And I was like, oh shit, first of all, he messaged back, which is cool enough, but secondly, like, he wants me to do it over their song. So I was like really excited, and I didn't want to wait till the next day, because in my mind, like, it's always worst case scenario. I'm like, damn, if I wait till tomorrow, he's gonna forget about me, I'm not gonna have the opportunity, and like, fuck. So I went, it was like midnight in my house, and I went into my car and recorded, like, took all my studio gear in there and recorded it because I didn't want to wake anyone up in my house. So wow. I recorded it and went back in my room, shot the video, edited it, and sent it to him. And he messaged me back like the following day and said that he had, like, they were at the venue wherever they were playing at, and he had taken his phone and like put it up to the mic and like played it for everyone, and everyone was like, what the fuck? And he messaged me back and was like, yo, you should play this with us like in Baltimore when we come, and like, I'll take care, like, you don't have to worry about a ticket or anything, you can pull up, it'll just be cool. And I was like, okay, yeah, cool, fuck, that's awesome. So that's pretty much how that started. We met, and it's funny, I actually have it on video. One of my friends came and like recorded the whole thing, and like, Danny right away was like confident. He was like, I don't know how this is gonna work, I don't know where he's gonna work out in the song, I have no idea, but it's gonna be sick. Like, that's all I know. Everyone else in the band, like, I could see, like, they were super nice, super like welcoming, but I could just tell, like, they were like, what the how is this even gonna work, like, what are we doing? And I have the moment on video where Ben is singing, and I started like playing in the background, and it was really similar to what I did on the record. You could see his face, like, he was singing, and he was like,
nice,
cool. So when I watched the video back, I was like, oh, that is awesome, fuck yeah, cool.
That's fucking
so
brilliant. Yeah, the moment he realized how good he was gonna be. Awesome.
Yeah, man, like, we ran through it once, and I remember everyone just being like, dude, if you can do that tonight, like, we're good, it's perfect. So we ran through it again, and then yeah, we smashed Baltimore, and then it went so well, they invited me back to play PlayStation Theater with them the following day, which is crazy because that venue is nuts. And I really hadn't been to New York that many times. So it was just crazy being there. I called my job. I was like, yo, I'm not coming in tomorrow. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to be there. So yeah, went, played that. And it was crazy, man. They had people from like Billboard there that were like interviewing them. And it was just like my first time being like in this huge venue in the green room, like just being a part of these conversations and stuff. And then they brought up flying me out for the Carson Daly show that we did on NBC, because they were like, we want something extra, something special. And I'm like, holy shit, like, this is happening really fast. So then they flew me out, we did LA, we played that, and I feel like just since then we just kind of developed this cool relationship bond where it's like, I don't know, I just feel like I owe them a lot, because they could have easily just been like, yeah, this is cool, and not really did anything. Like, especially Danny, he didn't have to really like hit me up at all, you know what I mean, to ask me. So I feel like I've been able to pop up with them every tour they've done since, like at least twice. Lil Wayne tour I popped up on, all the tours before that we did, like I would just randomly show up and just rip. And then that started the whole wave of me playing with all the other bands, because they started like, State Champs was like, yo, you should do that for us. And then these bands it just became a thing. So
nice.
Yeah.
That's fucking such a good story. It's awesome.
Bro, nuts.
Yeah, I fucking love it.
But for you, what was it like going from just doing stuff online and everything to being involved in Neck Deep's whole world as kind of like an unofficial touring member kind of thing per se? Because as you said, you did overseas tours. I think you did the two nights of Wembley supporting Don Broco. You were playing festivals.
I did that whole thing.
So like, what was it like for you experiencing that and really becoming a member of the band for that period of time?
Yeah, man, it felt really crazy, because like I say this online a lot too, like I'm a fan, bro. Like, that's I always want to see myself as just like a fan of the music and people's art, because I know what goes into it. I know how hard it is to like be in a studio and create and come up with that last line, or like, I understand that pressure, because I've been in local bands, I've done that whole thing where like, I understand the work and time that goes into perfecting your art. So I always try to see myself as just a fan. So ultimately, I'm just living most fans' dream, I feel like, where it's like, dude, I would love to jam with my favorite band and then go on the road with them and then play on TV with them and then remix the song with them. Like, it's nuts. So I'm just taking it like that, where I'm like, bro, I'm just grateful to be here. And like, I always tell them that when I'm with them, like, we did the whole UK run. That's like, that was most people's first tours are in a van. It stinks. There's dudes who haven't showered. Like, my first tour was in the UK with them on a big ass bus. Like, with, it was just, it's crazy. And I don't feel like that's a normal thing. Like, that doesn't usually happen. And I understand that. I'm just lucky to be here. So I always tell them that, like, yo, thank you. And all the other bands who like share my stuff as well, like, I'm just grateful to be there. So when they're like, bro, we love having you, I'm like, the feeling is mutual, because I'm just hyped to be here. Like, really,
that's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, man. Yeah, the problem is now, though, they probably spoiled touring for you. So if you have to go back to vans and stuff like that, oh, what the fuck,
what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I'm used to a bus. If I haven't got my own bunk, you can fuck off with your tour. Nah, I'm not doing it. I need my own bunk. I need my own trailer.
Right. Yeah, I got to pick up my saxophone? Like, what the fuck?
Is somebody checking my sax? I've got to check my own sax. Oh, no. Oh,
I've already gotten those jokes, man. Trust me. Like, I'll play something like in my hometown or something like that. And like, right after I came home, my boy's like, no, let me get that for you, Saxel Rose. I'm sorry. I'm like, please don't do that, man. Please don't do that.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's some of the funniest memories of some of my friends, like, trying to keep me level.
And, right. Just, I love it. I appreciate it.
You've played with some absolutely insane artists. How did playing with Wiz Khalifa come about?
Oh, man, like, that's even crazier, because, like, I've been, like, So it's funny, just to backtrack, like, I got into like pop punk and stuff like that. I joined a local band called Chasey Morgan in my area, and I didn't know anything about Story So Far, Neck Deep. I had no knowledge of any of that kind of music at all. I was in community college, and I was in a music class with the singer, and he knew I played drums, because me and him started talking. I told him I played drums in church, and he was like, yo, we just got rid of our drummer, you should come and audition. I'm like, I don't really know the style, but like, I know how to keep a groove, I'll come in and play. And anyway, I ended up joining the band, and they were putting me on all this crazy music, and it was like, that was my introduction to that whole world of like all that kind of stuff. And at first I hated it, to be honest. I was like, this shit is weird. And then I would drive home and be singing it. I'm like, okay, yeah, this is actually really cool. But before that, like, when I was in middle school, I was always a Wiz fan. Like, everyone in who knows me knows that, like, I love Wiz. Like, I've always loved his music. I've been a huge fan. I've bought the meet and greets. I've like, anything you can imagine, I've always been the dude, like, repping hard for Wiz, like, a lot of my life. So it kind of just started where he actually, three years ago, I covered one of his songs, like, one of his singles, and he shared it. I was at band practice. I, like, put the video up. I think it was the video right after I did Ain't It Fun, which is crazy. And I put the video up on my Instagram story, and then I started, like, we played one song, and then I checked my phone, and he had shared it. And I was like, holy shit, like, this is nuts. Like, I was like, we got to stop playing. I got to like focus on this real quick. Like, and like that's when everything just started like happening. But I don't know if he remembers that, but he shared my video. And then from then on, I remember the idea just kind of hit me, like, yo, if I just keep doing this, like, I'm seeing results. So if I just keep like just doing this shit, hopefully I can like just build this buzz around my name. So I just like periodically just kept covering the songs. He would just put out new material, and like, sometimes you would see it, sometimes you wouldn't, sometimes you would share it, sometimes you wouldn't. But when I started covering his artists on his label, like some of his friends and some of his younger artists, I think my name kind of just started, I think he just started hearing my name a lot, because a lot of his like friends who I know he followed, like his security guard and like a lot of his guys were just sharing me on Instagram. So I think like I just kept popping up, and I joined his Instagram live. This was like 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. I joined his live, and he just like, I popped in, and he was just like, yo, Saxel Rose, man, what's good? And I'm like, Yeah, nothing. Like, hi, how's it going?
Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, like, right. That was, I was like, holy shit. And he was just like, yo, man, what's going on? And he added me into his live. Like, I had my phone up, and next thing I know, it was like, you are now joining Wiz Khalifa's live. And I was like, what the fuck? Like,
oh, God, no, I'm not ready.
Right, man, it was crazy. So he was just like, yo, man, I just wanted to tap in with you, see how you were doing. I'm like, I'm doing great. Like, everything's fine. And he said he had seen my videos, and he was just like, yo, just keep doing what you're doing, keep grinding, like, I see you, don't stop. And I'm like, cool. So that was like a real good confirmation of like, all right, I'm on to something. So I think he put out another song, I covered that, he shared it, and then I kept popping in his lives, and he would just see me and be like, yo, Saxo Rose, like, what's good, what you doing? And then one day he was like, yo, I'm putting out a project in a couple weeks, I want you on it. But you guys know, like, I know how things go in the industry. Things get said all the time. Yo, we should link up. We should meet up. We should do this, that. So it was like, I was excited, but at the same time, my mind, I'm like, this probably won't happen. So I should just expect it not to happen. If it does, great. You know what I mean? But then I joined again a couple of days later. He said the same thing. Like, yo, I'm gonna send you something tonight. And then, same deal happened with the Neck Deep thing where I was at home. My grandmother actually passed away like a week and a half ago. Appreciate it. So all my family was home. Like, my brother came home, his wife, his two kids who are 5 months and six, my mom, my dad, a bunch of other family was home. And I played a gig in DC. I came back home, went to sleep, and I woke up at 3 a.m. getting a call from his team being like, yo, we're emailing you this song right now. And this is the song that Wiz wants you on. And I'm like, perfect. Like, cool. I'll do it first thing in the morning. And they're like, nah, like, we need this now, though, because we can't wait. It's got to be mixed tomorrow.
What?
I'm like, fuck, man. Everyone's asleep. I can't.
Bloody rappers.
Right. Like, I get you're in LA. It's only midnight. But, like, it's 3 a.m. on the East Coast. Like, fuck. And I had to work at 9 in the morning as well. So I was like, man. But I wasn't going to let that, like, you don't get that call very often. Yeah. So whatever I had to do. Problem was, I was going to go in my car like I did with Danny and Neck Deep, but my laptop was dead. So I didn't have like anything to plug it into in my car. So I have a key to my church. I'm the music minister there. So I like drove 10 minutes to my church, set all my studio gear up at like 3:30 in the morning, recorded everything, sent it to him, got the okay at like around 5. And then I was like, cool. I sent it off. I went back home, went to sleep for a couple hours, and then woke back up for work. And then when I got off at 3, I got another call, and they were like, yo, they sent me another song. It was like, yo, we want guitar on this one, cause like, you killed that. And I'm like, cool. So I did the guitar, and then that night it was out, like at like 1 a.m. the whole project was out.
Wow.
What? So,
what an insane, that seems to be like the hip hop turnaround way. Like, just so last minute and like, quick, we need this, bang, it's out.
Yeah.
Like, whereas bands, like, well, my new band now, it's taken us like a year and a half to literally put 4 songs out. But hip hop artists can go, well, I've just done that, can it go out now? What?
Boom.
Like, bang.
I'm blown away by that. I'm absolutely blown away by that. Yeah, like, rock bands normally are sitting on the record for bloody 8 months a year, and he's just overnight. Oh, wow.
Yeah, man, it was. I'm such a huge fan, and every time that me and him have talked, like, whether it be over the phone or whatever, like, it's always been a real cool conversation, and I can just tell the mutual respect is there. As far as I know, he respects what I do and what I'm bringing to the table. Because, like, don't get me wrong, like, I feel like I'm bringing something fresh to. I don't want to say like the scene, because that just sounds weird, but I feel like what I'm doing is fresh. But at the end of the day, there's a billion sax players. There's a billion guitar players. So he could have asked anyone, you know what I mean? And they would have done it, you know, probably just as well, or maybe just as fast. So the fact that he asked me lets me know that A, I'm doing something right. And then B, he obviously respects what it is that I do. So I just feel lucky for the opportunity. And, they've been super professional. All the guys hit me up, and I'm going out there to LA soon, because we got to shoot the music videos for some of these things. So I got to be out there soon.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it'll be cool. It'll be real cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well done. Congratulations. That's awesome. I'm chuffed for you. I'm like a kid listening to this. I'm getting excited for you. I'm like, oh,
it doesn't feel real, man. Like, I'm telling you, it feels like it's almost too of like cool of a story. And I don't, it's just so weird. Like, my parents are stoked. Everyone around me is like super stoked. So it's just like, it's just so weird sometimes. Cause like I'm such a fan. So I'm like, fuck, man, I want to ask you about like what you were doing in the studio on this day. And like, I'm all about that. I love the story. So even like Danny and then when we're on the road, I always ask him about like, you know, like when y'all writing this song, like what were you thinking about? Like, I want to know when you hit this note, like what were you, that's me. I'm all about that kind of shit. So, yeah.
Oh, did you, were you unfortunate enough to ever get to go to Wrexham? Have you been to Wrexham in North Wales?
I haven't. Nah. Good. We didn't do that venue.
Yeah, it's you don't want to go Wrexham, it's rubbish.
Well, side note, Ryan Reynolds is buying Wrexham Football Club. So,
yeah, I did see that, yeah. I saw that came out in the news yesterday. I don't know why he's interested in anywhere in North Wales, like it's very strange.
That's crazy.
But with everything, like, is it weird for you? Like, I know you said you're a massive music fan of so many different genres and playing these different instruments, but to have like a foot in the door in two complete different worlds in the industry, I mean, that must just be quite an exciting and refreshing thing in itself.
Yeah, it is weird, and it's scary at times as well, because and it's a good scary, it's not like a bad scary, it's like a like, damn, like I don't want to alienate either side, because I feel like I do have a decently like large following from, you know, playing with the Neck Deeps, the State Champs, the U's, the Silversteins, the Paramores. Like, those are some big names in that scene. You know what I mean? And I've developed followings from playing with all those bands, and they look forward to me covering those types of songs and playing with those types of bands, and they specifically watch out for that content. And then I have the other side from me doing songs with like Chris Brown and Bobby V and Wiz Khalifa and all the rappers and artists who have shared. I mean, those are big names in that scene as well, you know what I mean? Some of the biggest. So it's like I have these and they might not, those, they don't always cross. Like, I feel like not everyone's like me. I recognize that. Not everyone's like me where they just enjoy all kinds of music. You know, a lot of, you guys know, like, fans can be fickle from time to time where it's like, oh, yeah, they like this. You know what I mean? You get it. Like, they like this. They know what they like. And it doesn't matter how good that is. They don't care. So I've always tried to just do my part as far as like, I don't want to say I want to bring everyone together, because that sounds so cliche, but like I always want to blend the two, because that's, I don't even have to try to do it. That's just who I am, like, as a person. I don't have to think about it too hard. I'll listen to the Used and listen to a Chelsea Grin, and then the very next song on my playlist is like a Wiz or a Lil Wayne or 50 Cent or something like that. That's just who I am. So it's like, those are the types of songs that I'm going to cover. So I always made it a point to make it less about like the songs I'm covering and more about like the twist that I'm putting on it. So if you follow me, you don't know what song I'm going to do next or what band or artist I'm going to play with next, but you know, it's going to be dope. So yeah. Like, I'm always trying to get the focus off of that. Like, don't worry about what song it is. Just listen to it and ask yourself, yo, is this dope or is it not? You know what I mean? Like, don't worry about what style it is. Yeah, that's always been the focus. So I don't know. Like, I think about it, but at the same time, I think that's why I'm like very calculated with what songs I cover and the order in which I cover them in. Once I start getting too into like a pocket, that's when I'll switch it up and be like, cool, I've been covering like a lot of rap artists in the past couple of weeks. I'm going to come back and make sure that I please the people on the other side who maybe don't get around to listening to some of the other like R&B rap stuff that I'll do. They probably haven't heard me do a band in a while. So let me go and make sure I give them something to where it's like, oh yeah, Saxo Rose is still with us. You know what I mean?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So how far in advance have you got like things set up and scheduled? Like, do you know, like, for the next couple of weeks now what you're going to do? And
not at all. Really? Not at all. Okay. Nah. It's I swear, like, I used to do that where I used to like like my first few videos, I would like pre-record them and then just kind of drop them because I figured it would save me time. But the problem with that became like, I would put all this work into recording it and editing it, and then by the time I went to drop it, there would be either A, another song that like I would want to do instead, or because like I feel like the shelf life of songs now too, it just goes by so quickly. Like, a song will be out, it's a moment, and then that's it. So it's like, I just feel like everything is better when it's fresh, and I don't like sitting on an idea too long, because I'll go back and listen to it after a couple of days and be like, nah, I can do this better. So it's almost better to me. I want people to know that, like, yo, I haven't been sitting on this for a while. I just recorded this in my room 10 minutes ago. Like, I'm not spending that much time editing it. I'm running through it a couple times, and this is what I'm putting out. I always want my stuff to be like that, because I don't know, I just want it to be fresh. I want people to be like, that's what he came up with? Like, that fast? Cool. Like, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't really have a schedule. I'm just, whatever I feel, I'm just going for it.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, keep her up, all the less. But
thank you, man.
Speaking of all these bands you've worked with, I've got to ask about the whole Paramore situation, because you and Hayley Williams seem to have like this kind of online friendship, appearing in each other's videos and stuff on Instagram and Twitter and all this and over the last few months. But like a couple of years ago, I believe you went to a show and actually played Ain't a Fun with them on stage, and there was no kind of prior warning or anything like that?
Nah. That was also crazy, because like, I feel like you guys are gonna feel like I'm lying, because all these stories are like,
they're awesome.
They're all sick. So yeah, I same deal. I had done two or three videos covering them, and she shared Ain't a Fun. She shared, I did another one off the record, all called Forgiveness, which I love. And then I did the song called Fake Happy, and that video I put a little bit more, like, I actually got like a video, like it wasn't just me shooting it, I got like a video guy, and I kind of like replicated the music video that she did. I did my own twist on it, so it was like a little bit more work went into it, and the video looks sick. And I shared it, or I put it online, she shared it, and in the caption I was like, yo, like, I got my tickets to your concert that you guys are playing in a couple weeks. Like, should I bring my sax or nah? And she didn't answer the question, but she shared the video and was like, yo, like, this is fucking like sexy as shit. Like, I fuck with this. And I was like, okay, that's a good answer still. Like, all right. So yeah, she shared it. I bought my tickets for the show, went to the show, still hadn't heard anything. And I was literally in line, and there were like people all up and down the lines being like, hey, like, did you do a saxophone cover? Or like, yo, Saxel Rose, are you playing tonight? And I'm like, nah, I'm not playing tonight. I'm just here. I'm just watching. So literally, like, I'm in the venue, still hadn't heard anything. I'm watching the first band, still hadn't heard anything. Like, it was Foster the People, Paramore, and I think it was Soccer Mommy. So I was watching Foster the People was about to go on, and I look at my phone, and I got a message, and it was on Twitter, and it's from Haley, and she's like, hey, are you at the show? And I'm like, I'm like, yes, I'm at the show. Like, yeah. And she's like, hey, did you want to play Ain't a Fun with this? It's like our last song. I think it would be really, really sick. No pressure though. Like, if you don't want to, it's totally cool. And I was like, fuck yeah, like, I'm down. And I was so excited that I went with one of my friends, who's actually whose house I'm at right now, my friend Kevin. Me and him went together, and he's the one who put me on to Paramore like a long time ago. So he would keep telling me, like, yo, Paramore is dope, bro. I'm telling you, like, they're so good. He'd play them in the car for me. And this is before I really got into the scene, and it was like, it was cool. I like the hits, but it just didn't hit me right away. And he was like, yo, come see them with me, and I'm telling you, like, you're gonna love them. So 8 months prior to me playing with them, he took me to the first tour that they did, and somewhere in like PA, and I saw them, and I was like, oh, they're the greatest band of all time. This is it. Like, it's fucking amazing. And yeah, fast forward 8 months later, and in that time I was like, I went down the whole rabbit hole. I went back to the first album, and I was like, they're just fucking amazing. And I got like really just attached to the music. So by the time I start covering them, I was like so into the music at that point. But yeah, she hit me up, and I was like, the problem is I can't leave the venue to get my sax, which is in the car, because I played Emo Night in New York City the night before. So I left straight from New York to come to the show. So I was like, I can't leave. The security won't let me out to go get my sax. And she was like, nah, I'm going to have my like personal security guard escort you out and then back in. And I was like, okay, sick. So
yeah. I knew that was coming down. When he said I couldn't go out, I was like, here she comes. There's going to be, there's this big move coming where she's like, oh, you can go wherever you want. The queen is here. I got you. Yeah,
she took care of it. So yeah, But the funny thing is, for me doing all the videos, there was like this campaign before I played the show of like, Paramore fans and like people in my community, friends, family, and like just a shit ton of their fucking fans who were like, just, I swear, anytime, even if I didn't release anything, they were just like championing for me every time. Like I'd release another video and they'd be like, hey, this is cool, but hey, Haley, we want to see this guy play with you. Like every time, just tons of people just commenting on my shit, tagging her, being like, yeah, we want to see this. So when I went to the show, there was like 50 different people from my community, whether it be friends, teachers, family, friends, like that went to that show just on the off chance that I played. Like they would be like, hey, we don't know if you're gonna play, but we want to be there if it happens. So like there was a shit ton of people there who knew me, who were just there on the off chance. But the only person who knew I was playing was my friend Kevin, because he was with me when I found out. So by the time that Paramore started their set, I had like 15 friends like around me that were just like there, that are my just regular friends. Like they love Paramore, we're just there hanging out, and I didn't tell them at all. So they kind of asked me, they're like, yo, did you hear anything?
I've got cold. I got goosebumps.
Dude, no. I'm telling you, like, it was nuts. Like, they kept asking me, like, are you playing? And I'm like, nah. And it was believable because I'm there at the show. I don't have my sax as far as they know. So they're like, oh, I guess he's not playing. So like, 5 songs before, she told me like, hey, come back about 5 songs before so you can be back here, you're all ready to go, we'll have your sax back here, it's all good. I was like, cool. So 5 songs before I had to play, I looked to my friends and Paramore's playing, like everyone's going off, and I'm like, yo, I gotta go to the bathroom, bro, I gotta go pee. And like all my friends are like, what now? Like, dude, they're playing. I'm like, I can't wait, man. I gotta go. And they're like, all right, bro. And we're in the pit. So they're like, yo, hurry back. I'm like, all right. And then next thing you know, like I walk out on stage and like, they're all like, what the fuck? Like I can see.
Oh,
like,
amazing.
Oh, bro. I've gone cold. That's for incredible. You. I've literally got goosebumps. Yeah. It's
yeah,
like
fucking
brilliant.
I can just imagine that.
It was nuts, man. And I have videos of them from, like, my friend Kevin was taking a video because he knew it was coming. So he took a video of the whole, like, lead up when she's, like, introducing me. And the weird thing is I didn't have in-ear monitors or anything like that, and they don't have monitors on the stage. So everything she was saying, I couldn't really hear even when I was up there. So I didn't hear how she even introduced me until I went home and watched the videos the next day. And she's, like, she's, like, sitting, and she's, like, introducing me, but she's not saying my name. She's just like, yeah, we got this sexy treat for you guys, we got like more surprises for you. And my friend Kevin is like filming the video, and as soon as I walk out on stage, I just hear all my friends being like, yo, what the fuck, how did he get up there, like what the fuck?
Who gave him access?
Yeah, like how the fuck. So it was nuts. We played, it ripped. We went backstage afterward, and I got to like talk to all them and everything, and they were all super nice. They gave me like some merch, and they were just like super, super friendly, especially her. Like she was really, really nice about it. And since then we've just kind of like, it's kind of the same thing where it's not like she checks in with me or anything like that, or is like, hey, like text me like, hey, how you doing? But like, I'll do a video and she'll share it. Or like she like tweeted lyrics to this Erykah Badu song, and I tweeted her back. Like, I was like, what do you know about that? Like, that's different. That's like old school R&B shit. And she didn't say anything to that tweet. But the next day she filmed a video of herself playing to that song and like tagged me. It was like, hey, like, I just want to let you know, like I'm doing this song. And I'm like, oh, that's fucking sick. Like that she was just sitting at home. And like, so like little things like that have happened. She was playing keys one day, and I like filmed a video over myself, like mimicking exactly what she was playing. And it was like, I'm not gonna say it was bad, but she was literally just like fucking around, like not paying attention to any notes at all. And I like matched every single note and then stacked the videos together. And she like thought it was the funniest shit ever and shared it on Twitter and Instagram and stuff. So we've had these like little just things online, or we'll just communicate, and it's awesome. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's
it's really sick.
She is an absolute sweetheart. She is amazing. I love her.
She's really cool. Yeah, she's really cool. And a lot of the people around her too, like they're awesome. Zach, the drummer from Paramore, he does this band Half Noise. Me and him, like we got some music together, and he's like the nicest fucking guy like ever. Everyone around that whole circle is just like, they're all talented as fuck, and they're just nice people. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was going to ask. I did see you and Zach were in the studio on your Instagram. What's happening there? Is it a collaboration for Half Noise or just jamming? What was...
I don't want to give too much away because it's obviously his thing and I don't want to. But I can definitely talk about what he shared because obviously it's already out there. But yeah, he did a me and him are definitely collabing on a bunch of different stuff. For Half Noise, for a side project, he's hit me up and we've formed. It's so funny because like we met that night at the show. We didn't really get to talk that much. Just like, yo, that was sick. And I was like, yo, you're dope. Like, that was it. But we just, I think I covered a Half Noise song and then that kind of started it. Like, he followed me and we just started chatting. And we, like, me and him, we have like a great relationship. We'll talk. And it's like, we've had some really, really good life conversations about just like people and music and how we like view ourselves and just like little, like we've had these really great, like in-depth life conversations. And he's like a super nice guy, super talented, and we're into a lot of the same music as well. So he's like, you'll definitely see me and him like working together, I feel like, a decent amount. We got some music, like it's crazy.
Nice. Who's the heaviest band you've worked with?
Damn, the heaviest band I've played with is probably Miss May I, and I love those guys too. They're like super fucking cool, and they've supported me before. It's so weird for them too, for all the Saxl Rose shit, because they like, I was in a local band, like a metalcore band, and we opened for them a bunch of times. I worked for this company for like a very brief period of time called Blink TV, and I like interviewed them a couple times. And so we formed a relationship before the saxophone thing even happened. Like, I don't even think they didn't even know I played sax. So when I started doing that, they were just like, yo, what the fuck? Like,
I've known you for years and you've just started playing saxophone and you're this good. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, no, I've been like, doing this since I was 5, bro. But you just didn't know.
Yeah. They had no idea. And I was like, nah, I've been doing this like a long time. But, and like their lead singer, Levi, when I went out to play with Neck Deep in LA for the first time, like he met up with me the next day and like he lived there at the time. So he was like showing me around and we were hanging out. And, their bass player Ryan, he's come to Maryland a bunch of times to get tattooed, and we've hung out. I went to see them play one time and somehow ended up at a VIP club with them for like one of the dude's birthdays. Like, I was just around when they were talking about it and they were like, you want to go? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I want to go. Like, we just had these moments of just like hanging out. So they're like, I'm super close to them. They're really cool. So them as far as who I've played with, but as far as who I've covered, probably still them. I mean, I've covered a lot of like, I've covered some rock bands, like some heavy bands, but as far as like heavy, I covered Attila, so I don't know if that, I mean, they're pretty heavy as well. Northlane, I've covered them as well, and like they're super cool guys as well. They're super cool. I feel like those three probably up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Did you have any interaction with Small Wayne, Lil Wayne on tour? Did you get to see him in the flesh close up?
So I did. I don't want to. So I'm not going to say any other names, but I may have met Wayne face to face backstage and talked to Wayne, and it may have, I personally, like, I didn't get in trouble really. But some people weren't happy about that situation, and it wasn't like this big, you know, like there was no bad intentions. It was like I was walking back, ran into Wayne, and we conversed, and then that ended up not being okay. So
It's happened to me before with it. Like, I've been on tour with people, and they've been like, if you see Pharrell,
oh wow,
don't talk to him. And then
really,
he came past to talk to me, and then I was like,
ah, "What do I do?
I'm not allowed to talk to you."
It's just different, man. I feel like, you know, those worlds are just different, and I still consider myself relatively new to a lot of this stuff, especially when it comes to like just like touring and stuff like that. And that's why I'm glad that I'm getting so many of these experiences, because I can like learn that, yo, certain things are just a certain way. And like, sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes it's not always the most sensible thing. But it's not my place to figure out. And it's not always my place to be like, well, I don't think that that's right. Like, that's not my place. I'm just here to learn. And I definitely learned in that case. Like, it's so hard for me to explain the whole thing because I don't want to make it seem like it was a bigger thing than it was.
What I found in those situations is most of the time it's not even the artists who are pissed about whatever's going on. It's normally just management,
right?
Can you not talk to my artist? Because like we had a producer on a while ago called Matt Good. He was in a band from first to last.
Yeah, Matt's cool.
My old band took From First to Last on tour in the UK, and beforehand we had like a big fucking list of demands of like they needed a certain temperature on the bus.
We turned up
and the air conditioning was broken on the bus, and we were like, oh well, From First to Last they're gonna go straight home then. Uh-oh.
Holy shit.
But yeah, we had literally had like a list of demands, try not to piss them off and all this stuff, and then they were literally the nicest people in the world. But it just seems to be like management and people like that who just don't want their artists to be, it's not even putting people out talking to them, is it? It's just, it's just strange.
That's what it felt like to me. I mean, I could be wrong. It could have been Wayne, but like when I talked to Wayne, he was super nice. He was super personable. And hey, like for all I know, it could have been one of those things where he was super nice and then he walked away and was like, yo, like this cannot happen. Like it could have been one of those things, or it could have not been one of those things. I got near full from like one of the head of security dudes for the tour. And I just said, hey man, I apologize. I'm sorry. I had no idea. At the end of the day, I'm wearing the same pass around my neck as Wayne, but at the same time, like I told you guys before, I feel like I was lucky to be there. So the last thing I want to do is cause any sort of anything. That's never been me. I'm not one of those type of dudes. I'm laid back. I'm chill. So like, I was just like, hey man, didn't know, won't happen again. I apologize. Like had no idea. Neck deep. Did not care. Like they were just like, oh really? And they were like they thought it was cool. They were like, yo, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I was talking to Lil Wayne, and like they got all pissed and they were like, you were talking to Lil Wayne? Like what's up? Like what's the problem with that? I was like, dude, I don't know. And they were like, exactly. Dude, like don't worry about it. So but yeah, I mean, like I said, I did talk to Wayne, but his band, like they're incredible. Like I still keep in touch with a lot of those guys, and they're like super talented musicians. And we got the chance to jam a little bit on that tour. I did the Maryland show, and like one of the guys was playing piano, and it was like Blink's Dressing Room, Neck Deep, some of Wayne's guys. And I was leaving. I said bye to everyone in Neck Deep. We were like, all right, peace. And they were like jamming on keys, and I think Sam or Wes was like, yo, you should just play your sax like over that. And I was like, okay, sure. And because I don't need any reason, bro, I'll play, I don't give a fuck. So we started jamming, and I had my back to the dressing rooms, so I'm like playing, and next thing I know, like I hear like voices, and I turn around, and it's like Mark from Blink and Alex from All Time Low, and all the bands are standing behind me just like watching me and this dude play. And I was like, oh shit, there's an audience here. Like the security and the people who work for the venue and like all the people Neck Deep, everyone came out of the dressing rooms, and there's a video of it too. It's sick. Everyone's just sitting around watching, and we got done playing. We played like our last note, and it's just like everyone was just like clapping, and Mark was like, dude, that was sick. And I was like, dude, I fucking love you. I used to watch your videos all the time. Like, yeah, dude, that's awesome.
It's crazy. It's just like, oh, that's the most famous crowd I've ever played to.
Dude, yeah, like,
oh, Mark Hoppus again?
Dude, it was so weird. Like, and the funny thing is, like, in the video, like, we're playing, and Mark, like, walked by me, and he's just, like, sitting, like, I think we played for, like, maybe, like, 10 minutes or something, and the whole time, he's just, like, sitting and, like, watching me. And it was, like, I knew he was watching me when I'm playing, but in my mind, I'm just thinking, like, bro, like, I am playing the sax. He is literally so interested in what I'm doing right now, and, like, I used to watch this guy's videos on MTV all the fucking time. Yeah. Like, I love this fucking guy, and I just want to stop playing and be like, dude, I fucking love you, man. Like, you're awesome. But like, it was super cool experience. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's magic to hear all these stories and how everything's turned out. But touring with so many bands and popping up in shows and everything, is there something that's kind of caught you off guard, or a way a band works, or something they do that is really taking you back and made you think about how you could incorporate it, or anything like that?
Well, I think So this isn't just the first thing that popped my mind is like, normally when I play with a band, it's always on the fly. Like, as you guys know from like the stories I've been telling you, it's always something just like, yo, like, come. There's not a whole lot of like, usually I don't even get like a sound check. Like, sometimes it's literally just like, yo, like, come do this thing. So I think when I played with this band, I played with Intervals and, like, super nice guys. And when I played with them, he was super like, super nice about it, but he was like, yo, I want to get like as many run throughs during sound check and get all the levels right. Like, I want to get everything perfect. Cause I want, if you're going to play and we want to make this a moment, like, I want the audience to be able to hear like the best you, and I want the mix to be perfect. Like, let's run this shit. So I think just like, and I've gotten other sound checks before, but I just always kept that in mind where he made it a point to be like, yo, like, it makes a difference on, it's cool for you just to be there and people will be stoked either way, but like, it's important for them to hear you at your best. So let's make sure that we get everything right, like down to the T. Like, let's get this harmony right. Let's make sure we're hitting like every little thing. And that just like reminded me like, oh yeah, like, don't get caught up in like, it's cool, put on a show and it's cool to do all the cool shit and have everyone be hyped. But like, I never want to get too far away from like, yo, at the end of the day, it's about the fucking music. I'm here, yeah, to put on a show, and I'm here because it's awesome. But I'm also here because like, yo, I want to fucking rip and I want to show my skills, and like, I take this music shit seriously. So like, just don't get too far away from that. So I think that, I hope that answered your question, but definitely, yeah, that, like,
yeah. Sweet.
Awesome. Yeah. Your enthusiasm is contagious. I've really, really enjoyed this. This has been awesome.
I appreciate you guys, man. I've heard, like I said, I've watched a bunch of you guys' episodes, because you guys did, I think, two with Neck Deep. Yeah. I think you did I listened to both of those. I listened to one with Bond because, like, I've been pushing Stan Atlantic. Like, it's my fucking job. Like, there's no reason for it. I love their music so much ever since, like, I heard it. And as soon as I saw that she was on your guys' shit, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna stop everything I'm doing right now and just listen to this conversation. And it was awesome. And nice. I like the dynamic between you guys, and I like how you guys like allow your guests to like get everything out. And I don't know, I definitely respect you guys, so I appreciate you having me.
Thank you very much. Yeah, but just to say, yeah, we do love Stan Atlantic, and we love Bond and everything. But Sean's got this thing with Mickey. They have a fight when they can tour. I don't know, something's going to happen. It's going to be a big thing. I mean, just to let you know on it that Mickey and Sean are going to have a fight. So you might want to pick a side. Just to say.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah, I don't want to have to do that.
Well. You're going to have to, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not... yeah, we're all laughing at something that's true. So...
I'm going to put a little bit of money on each of you. That's just a little bit.
I never thought of it. I never thought of a winner. I just thought of me running at him, throwing punches. Yeah, all right, cool. What artist would you dream to play with? Is there anyone... I tell you what, alive or dead, who you could play with, who would it be?
Michael Jackson, like, first and foremost, because I love Mike's music growing up, for sure. So definitely Mike, just on a music standpoint. But damn, I don't want to say, like, I went through a huge Jimi Hendrix phase. Like, I feel like a lot of people did when you get in the guitar, especially. But so definitely, I mean, Jimmy for sure, because he was like incredible, and I still, like, I don't know, I've definitely hit the Dern shows, I've definitely hit the playing the guitar with their teeth a few times, which is 100% inspired by him. So like, yeah, Jimmy. I mean, I've already played with Paramore, but like, I relive that moment in my head like twice a day. So like, I want to play again with them so bad, dude. Like, it was almost like the worst tease ever of just getting to play with them one time. Like, I want to play with him so bad, dude. Any other artists that are alive? I think that's a good three. I mean, nice. Fucking yeah, no, Jimi Hendrix, Mike, and
yeah, I never heard of the first two. So yeah, it was really. I'm joking.
I was like, bro, we gotta talk. Like, holy shit.
I came second in a dancing competition, dancing as Michael Jackson once. So
I bet, man. I can see the skills. Like, when we got on here, I'm like, he's a dancer for sure.
Yeah, well, obviously, well, you know, I didn't want to. I just been, yeah. People can't see this, but I've been popping and locking all the way through it. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to add Kenny G to that as well, because it's to me, as far as your modern saxophone player goes, I mean, Kenny, even if you're not into his music, like, you know, everyone knows the name Kenny G. They probably don't know a fucking song by him, but like, everyone knows who Kenny G is. Everyone knows he's just like an entity in himself. Like, he's just like, he's fucking Kenny G. He can do anything. Like, he can actually rip. He's not just like the sweet, like, he can actually fucking rip. But dude, he got a call from Kanye and Kim to play at their house, like, as she was just walking through the fucking door for their anniversary. Like, he's getting those kind of calls. I want to get those kind of calls. Like, Kenny's just different, bro. Like,
Kanye together at last. Yeah, Axl Rose at one of them Kanye West Sunday services would be quite good.
I'm down. I think Kanye's a little bit nuts, but I would definitely be down to play, for sure. No question. Yeah.
Well, nice. When we ultimately get him on, I'll bring it up.
Please do.
Imagine Kanye West on this. The poor bastard. He wouldn't last 5 minutes.
I don't think it has nothing to do with you guys. I don't think it would happen. Like, Kanye's nuts, bro. Like, Kanye, I would love to see it, though, because I think you guys would just fucking, it would be the greatest interview of all time. Like,
it would just be me treating him like a normal fella, and that never ever happens to him. Never happens to him.
That's what he needs.
So good. Kanye, what's going on?
What's up?
How much?
Oh, God alive. But yeah, cool. Awesome.
Amazing. Well, with all that as well, I mean, what else can people expect from you coming up, man? Any other projects or videos or collaborations?
A bunch of collaborations. Like, I got a ton, like, none of which that I can talk about right this second. But
perfect.
Yeah. And you know what? I never understood why bands and artists, like, said that before. Yeah. And I always hated it. I'm like, all right, are you guys just doing that thing where it's like, yo, I got stuff going on. Mm. I can't talk about it. It's like, no, like, legally, can't talk about it. Like,
literally,
real
can't
thing.
Talk about it.
And I don't, even if it wasn't like that, I wouldn't want to, like, ruin it for the artists. I want them to announce it on their own time. But a ton of bands have been hitting me up for features and stuff like that, and I've been knocking them out left and right. Artists, especially since the Wiz thing, like, Wiz definitely plugged me in with, like, a lot of different artists. So I've been doing a lot of features, a lot of guitar features as well, which is cool. But I have my own music as well. Like, I mean, I sing, I rap, I got, like, my own project on that end, but I have, like, an actual, like, cool, like, groovy sax, like, single dropping as well that I recorded that I did with Taylor Larson. I recorded at his studio in Bethesda, and I got two guest features on that as well, both instrumentalists and both bands that I've played with before, one that I've recorded with before, and it's both, I'm not, if you can guess, cool, but I'm not giving it away. But it's sounding really, really sick. Actually, I had it done, like, I did it like a year ago, and then I, like, revamped it completely. Like, I played it to Zach from Paramore, and he was like, dude, this is fucking awesome. He was, and then he gave me a suggestion on it, and that totally, like, I was like, oh shit, I gotta, like, redo this whole thing, and it gave it a totally different vibe. So I got two, like, really cool names on it. And yeah, I'm really excited for it. So I'm pretty much just waiting to get the mix back from that. I'm going to shoot the video, and I'm aiming, I want to release it, like, as soon as possible. Like, as soon as I shoot the video and get it back, like, I don't really want to wait too much longer after that. So I don't know when it'll be out, but it'll be out. It'll be out.
Nice. So where can people follow you and find you online so they can get ready for this?
Fuck yeah. You can find me on Instagram at Saxl Rose Official. You can find me on Twitter at Saxl Rose. At Saxl_Rose. YouTube.com/Saxl Rose. I got merch. So whatever, however they want to support me, I'm down. Also, I'm working on the reason I'm at my friend's house right now, actually, is because my internet, we're in the process of switching internet providers. So I don't have internet at my house right now. So I came to one of my friend's house who lives, like, right down the street, because we're switching, because I'm going to start streaming on Twitch. So I needed to, like, upgrade the internet shit. So we're in that process right now. But I'm about to start, like, Josh from Issues and a bunch of guys have been, like, telling me, like, bro, you should start streaming on Twitch, because you're doing it anyway. You're just playing over shit. People fuck with it. So, like, you might as well. So, Yeah, I'm going to start doing that soon. So nice. Look for that. Awesome. Look for that as well.
Yeah, good luck with it all.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing it.
I'm swearing. That's how excited I am. I'm swearing in the middle of sentences. I don't need to be there. I'm super excited for everything that's happened and is going to happen for you. Yeah. Keep it up. You are killing it right now. And,
thank you, man. I appreciate you guys. Like, if it wasn't for, like, even though, like, this is obviously our first time meeting, but, like, I definitely, like, I never want people to think I don't appreciate, like, I mean, you guys could be doing anything right now, like, besides talking to me, and I definitely appreciate it, and same with, like, all the bands, all the music blogs that, like, share my stuff, and even if it's just, like, something simple, like, you just like the video, or just a message, or anything like that, like, that shit, for me, is, like, a huge deal, so, like, even doing this right now is, like, a huge deal for me, so I really appreciate it, for real.
Oh, no, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. It's been such a good chat.
Good luck with everything.
Both enjoyed this very much, and I'm excited for everyone to hear it.
Let's do one in the flesh at some point when you're over in the UK, please.
Please, I would love to, man. I want to get back over there. I want to see the boys from Neck Deep anyway, for real. Nice. Wait, did you guys listen to the new album, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, love it.
Do you like it? It's cool, right?
Yeah.
It's fucking dope. Yeah. It's really dope.
Yeah, oh, yeah, just before you go, I just realized, you played Wembley Arena, right? Which is something most British bands will never get to do.
Oh man,
I love it.
Yeah, it was, dude, that was crazy. And same deal when you guys, when you're like, yo, you're just getting spoiled, like, I'm telling you, I came back from there and like, I'm like, man, this isn't like normal shit, like, this isn't like every day, like, oh yeah, I put a video up and the band invited me out and then we did Wembley, like, that shit just doesn't fucking happen.
No,
bro,
it's like a movie that is literally like, you should get in contact with Netflix, a documentary straight on the go.
It's almost
fucking down.
It's almost, I reckon if you pitched your story to a filmmaker, they'd go, that's not believable. And you go, but that's exactly what happened. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's amazing, and I love it. So, congratulations.
Also, the sickest thing, like, about Wembley, and I don't know, this is just a thing that I always remember, and it's so stupid and it's so small, but, like, the shower at Wembley is incredible. It's a whole fucking, it's not like a regular shower, dude. The shower's an entire room. Like, you walk in, and, like, that's the shower. It's fucking sick. Like, it's just, I remember just being like, this is a great fucking shower, like, this is really nice, it's very clean.
Nice.
Like, it's awesome, bro. Yeah, it was cool.
I love it. I'm glad that another artist appreciates showers as much as I do. Oh, I mentioned on the earlier podcast, I was mentioning about like, because obviously my band came up and we went to all toilet circuits to get into play, arenas or whatever, and
right.
There was I'm always a fan of a Triton T80, which is
it's all about it. It's the thing.
Bands done. A lot of people are just like, oh, bands, rock and roll, cocaine, drugs, sex. And I'm like, nah, I'm looking for a good shower in a venue.
A good shower, bro. Like, I love showers, dude. I'm light skinned. I take a lot of showers. This is what we do. Like, I'm down, bro. That is like the catering as well. I had never experienced that. So, like, the first day we walk into the room and there's food, and Danny was like, yeah, man, you can eat that. This is for us. It's all good. I'm like, I didn't want to take anyone's food. Like, I didn't know, like, is that for us? Like, this shit looks good.
That's awesome.
Cool. Hell yeah,
sweet. But, well, thank you very much,
and dude, I appreciate you guys soon. Thank you.
You're listening to Sabin Podcast. Yes. That was the fantastic Saxel Rose. What a guy. Absolutely beams positivity. And hearing his stories was literally like a dream. Like, I got goosebumps listening to him talk about having to go up with Paramore. And, like, I've been lucky enough to guest with bands before. And, like, never has it been like, oh, just turn up, like, towards the end of this. Like, just come backstage at the end of it. It's always been, like, planned beforehand.
Hmm.
So that's wild to hear from Paramore. And, like, just imagine me with your friends being like, oh, I'm going to go for a piss. And then next minute, you stand in front of 20,000 people playing his sax with Hayley Williams.
Absolutely incredible. But, like, he's just had so many phenomenal experiences. I was so happy that he was sharing everything, every single detail with us. Just a lovely human being, lovely chap, talented artist, and great to see everything is kicking off with him still in 2020. If you somehow have missed some of the recorded collaborations he has done in the past, then make sure to go and check out Neck Deep's remix of In Bloom featuring Axl Rose, the track A Thousand Hearts on the new State Champs Unplugged EP, and of course various anthems on Wiz Khalifa's new record. He's on so many things across music genres. Head over to his Instagram at Axl Rose Official, where you can find out all of those for yourself and news on that debut studio album and solo material coming out in the near future. Very excited Woo-hoo! For that as well.
Yes, what a absolutely stellar chap. I had a very, very good time, and as I said, his positivity and his love for music is infectious. Thank you very much for cheering me up that day.
Yeah, I also have mad respect after this for Wiz Khalifa, because the fact that, like, we talked about loads of people in the industry, if you're in music or whatever, they kind of make fake promises. It's happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to many times with you, Sean, where people say something and it doesn't follow through.
Literally the music business is loads of people promising to swap tours. What I learned from being in the Blackout is we did so many tours where we took American bands out and we were like, yeah, they were like, yeah, we'll take out America, and they never fucking did.
But the fact that Wiz like has kept in touch with him and just kind of seeing his progress and everything, and even the fact that hip hop artists get a feature done and they release the record that day, like, that is insane. Can you imagine the amount of pressure and stress and all that, not only on Saxel to get that done, but if you're like the band's management or PR or producer or anything like that? But mad respect for Wiz Khalifa and his team. Fair play to them. They sound like top sports.
Yeah, I think it's just a different world, the hip-hop world, when it comes to song making. I think you can kind of knock one up in about half hour, really, can't you? Because, you know, it's just all producers and done on laptops rather than live bands mostly. So is part of those songs is probably the most difficult part to record. So, yeah, congratulations to him again. He's worked with some unbelievable artists. The jammy bastard, but also he completely deserves it.
Quick question. What's the weirdest thing you've been promised by someone in the industry and they've never followed through?
Poor. Well, funnily enough, the Blackout, right? We played a Battle of the Bands in Merthyr Tydfil once, right? And we won it, and the prize was a day recording in Rockfield.
Oh, right, yeah.
Or £500 or something like that it was. And we got neither of them. So I'm still waiting on that. So if Dave Driscoll's listening to this, and I'm sure he's not, you still owe my old band £500 or a day of Rockfield. I'll take the day of Rockfield, please. So many bands, right, the Blackout took out. They were like, yeah, we'll definitely do swap tours. Yeah, we'd love to take you to the States. And never did. It was unbelievable.
Awful. Absolutely awful. I was promised a tour once.
What?
I had a band when I was working in radio. I was promised by a band that they were going to take me out to a European tour that they were supporting an artist at, and they were going to pay me to do a lot of journalism and social media things. And they went on about it for ages and ages and ages. And then when I hadn't heard anything back, like, officially, when the tour got announced, I dropped a message. I was like, oh yeah, so what's going on here now? Am I come out to Europe with you guys? Blanked until the tour was over. And that was nice.
Shits. Yeah. Shits. Some people are just shit smug. Anyway, if you've enjoyed any of the 97 episodes, technically 98, we did a bonus one as well, please think about supporting us at patreon.com/sapnin. There's an whole range of different tiers and different things for you to choose from that you get back in return for your support. So thanks to everybody who's already a Patreon. You're absolute fucking stars, and I love you. And if you've got a voice, if you've got a video message from me this week, you know that I definitely appreciate you more than Morgan does.
I wouldn't say more. I think we both appreciate everyone.
That's not what the video message you say to people.
Because that's what you said in the video.
Oh, well.
Anyway, patreon.com/sapnin, so you can find out for yourselves who appreciates our lovely family the most.
Bastards, you were calling them earlier.
They're lovely bastards. They know this. I tell them to their faces.
You called them the Hatreon earlier.
That's a good play on words, to be fair.
I know, I actually, when I was making it, I was doing a video for someone earlier and I was like, oh yeah, Morgan hates the Patreon. In fact, he calls them Patreon. And I went, I didn't just make that up just now on the spot either. So yeah, that's one of, plus yeah, that's out there. That's to the world now. Yeah, yeah, Morgan hates everybody who's part of the Patreon, but I love you so much that it actually makes up for how much Morgan hates everyone. So please think about joining patreon.com/sapnin. If you've got any comments, if you've got any ideas for shows, if you'd like to tag some guests, if you'd like to give us ideas for bands to check out, think about giving us a shout on Twitter and Instagram at SappeninPod, at SAPPENINPOD. That's SAPPENINPOD.
Yes, go and like all our stuff, retweet it, share it, put it in your Instagram stories. It all means a lot. Literally, I know there's loads of people who listen to this podcast and who are not even subscribing. So press that button. You'd be amazed how much those little details actually help us in the long run. So if
you probably don't even have to listen, but just subscribe, or if you can't listen, fantastic. Yeah, and please do.
As Sean said, at SappeninPod on Twitter and Instagram, and with the Patreon, we've got loads of surprises coming up. A 100th episode of the Sappenin podcast, followed by a second year anniversary a few weeks after that, is very much fast approaching. That's not a sentence, but it's a true statement. And we've got so many things behind the scenes that is going to come to fruition, fingers crossed. So come and be a part of the family. Everyone's lovely. You'll get on, you'll have a laugh, you meet some friends, and, you know, we can all help each other through weird times. So that's patreon.com/sapnin. In the description of this episode, you'll see loads of names from the Patreon that we thank, love and admire. But Sean is also now going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon community, the top tiers. And as always, they've probably changed their names to a couple of funny comments, I would imagine.
Yeah, we'll see now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwaway, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Morgan Call Me Daddy, Amadine Urbano, Who Is Your Daddy and What Does He Do? Nathan Croshaw, Kelly Young, Dilly the Truth Is Out There But I'm Not Going to Show You Where, Grimwood, Ohio Is for Emo Chester, Michael Engler, Liam Connolly, Drew Styles, I Love Daddy Morgan, Kelly Irwin, Dana Lasnova, Tom Owen, Amy Campion, Kate Gentleman Prefer Ginger's Puttock, Jonathan Phillips, I'm Your Daddy Morgs, Simon Amos, Ollie Morgan Call Me Daddy Amesbury, Kate Stevenson, Samuel Griffiths, Jenny Munster, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Martina McManus, John and Emma, I'm Allegedly Mo Dick's Daddy, Becky Andy, Erin Howard, Louis Cook, Marcy Jacobson, Jason Heredia, Sandra Kuachek, Mike Cunningham, Charles Carl Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, James McNaught, Tallulah Grant, Stuart McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Lydia Henderson, Tony Michael, Jenny Robson, Sharif Awadali, Nuala Clark, Craig Daddy Says No Harris, Jody Shannon, and last but no means least, Keris Andrews. Thank you very much to all those people. And as you can see, absolutely none of them have changed their name to anything funny this week.
Yeah, it's not funny. It's don't get me involved. Look, I'm not kink shaming, yeah? But don't get me involved with any of your sexual preferences. I'm not
kink shaming, but definitely get Morgan involved with the weird stuff.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I don't know, but they're taking it down from the inside, they are. They're trying to take us down from the inside. Don't let them get you, Morg, these bastards. They'll never take us alive, Morg.
Fucking kinky bastards. Anyway, patreon.com/sapnin. If you'd like to show us your kink, please don't. But if you do, I guess you can. I don't know what to say anymore. I mean...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. DM us at sapninpod on Instagram and Twitter. And I will have a look at whatever you send us. It can be... I'll take on dick pics. I'll take on... whatever else you want to send, bring it on. I will have a look at it. Do you know what? I'm going to start reviewing pictures. Start tweeting DMs at Instagram and Twitter, and I will give you a rating out of 10 for your picture. Send it. We'll see what it is.
You know you can charge for that, right? Some people charge for that kind of thing.
What for? Looking at pictures? Do they? What? Like the opposite of OnlyFans?
No, like you get. I talked to you about this off.
All right,
off
yeah.
Podcast, but
oh, good. Another business. Good. Tidy. Another income.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for everyone for listening. Thanks to Saxo Rose for being an awesome human being and chatting with us. Thank you to Sean. His band Raiders Band UK on everything, have a new single, I Still Function, available 9 a.m. October 2nd, which is today. And long live and prosper.
Live long and prosper, you fucking idiot.
What did I say?
Long live and prosper.
Same difference.
No, it's not, is it? Right. Sapnin! Stop recording before you fuck anything else up.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.